Hey guys, what's going on? Rachel here, back with the Millennial Wave, and you guys will not believe the guests that I have here today. This woman, wow, where can I start here? Grew up in a very humble household in the country where she milked the cows, she rode the horses. She rode the horses. She even rode the goats sometimes. And she would let those pigs run all over the household, snorting their lives away. But anyway, grew up in a very humble household. Found herself becoming very independent at a young age. Someone who left the house, I would say, early compared to most people nowadays. I mean, to be honest, there's a lot of 20, 21-year-olds living at home still, and that woman was free as a bird. So she has a very, very impactful and interesting story, very health conscious, someone who is dear to my heart, and I'm super excited to have on the podcast today. So, Mother, say hello to the people.
Hello, people.
How are you feeling right now?
Well, thank you for that introduction.
You know, I didn't want to say too much.
I want you
to be there.
So I am reluctant to be here. Rachel knows I don't talk about myself often. But if there's something I can say that would be impactful for someone else or would give somebody else insight into their own situation, then, you know, I'll feel as if this has been a productive thing. But yeah, I'm really proud of Rachel as well. Rachel has kind of launched this thing on her own. I think that you're an amazing speaker, an amazing person, and you're going places. And so I'm really proud of you.
Okay, you guys, this is what I mean. She hates talking about herself, so what does she do? She puts it back on me. So back to you,
okay,
Mom. I love you so much. But I really want to have you take it back before we get into the stuff that we talked about, what we want to talk about, what I know that you want to probably give a little...
I'm not sure if I want to, but
no,
you we'll
do.
See.
Okay. You told me you did, and that's the only reason I asked you to be on the podcast.
Okay.
Okay? So before we go into that, tell me, like, a little bit of your background of, like... After you left the house, after you left home, how old were you? What was that journey like? Because I asked you before we started the podcast, I asked my mom, what would you tell your younger self? Or what would you tell me? Because I would say I'm a younger mom. You know, my mom, like, she's my mom. So I want to hear, what would you say? And not just what would you say, tell me a little bit about how you got out of the house, what you did, what life was like, and what you cherish most, but also what you would, if you would change anything, maybe you don't have regrets, but, you know, if there's anything that you would do differently, what are those things?
I think that as you get older, any of those regrets tend to fall away. With perspective, you realize everything about life is a journey. Everything is about learning and growth, and even the mistakes and the painful times can actually make you a better person. You know, you learn more about yourself. I left home at a fairly early age. I graduated midterm from my high school, and I was 17 and a half when I left home. It wasn't a particularly successful venture to begin with, but I've always been a pretty driven person from the time I was young, and pretty much anything I set out to do, I could do. I was pretty confident in my abilities and didn't always have a sense of direction, but I had a good work ethic and I had a pretty good head on my shoulders. And so I was always able to procure fairly decent employment. Doing well in school was really helpful for me back then as far as being able to work, because I had paid attention, and I could spell, and I could read, and I could write, and I could type, and so, you know, you can always get clerical-type jobs. But although I was confident in those particular areas, I wasn't very good at relationships, and I was not very good at picking men, and I was not very good at knowing what I wanted with respect to my relationships. And so I got involved with somebody when I was too young, had two children fairly early in life. I was 21 when I had my first, and then 24 when I had my second. But back then, when you were a parent, you just did what you needed to do. You know, it never occurred to me to go out and want a date or party or anything like that. It just, that wasn't me. I worked, I was a mom, I was a wife, and, you know, the relationship was pretty abusive, and I dealt with that for a while, but then I got to a place where I just wasn't willing to deal with it anymore. And so then that's difficult, because whenever you split from somebody, the children are affected, and, you know, you have to juggle the going back and forth. And if you ask anybody who's ever been a single parent, it's just not easy. Like, for example, when you have young children, if one of them gets an ear infection in the middle of the night, well, you can't just leave the other one home. You don't have a spouse there that you can leave that child with, so you have to drag them both in, and that means that one has to get no sleep, and it's a struggle. And back then, because, you know, I ended up being in some bad relationships, and I had more children, and back then there were times when I felt like I had so much responsibility that I couldn't handle it. And there were times I wondered, God, you know, how am I going to make it through this? But I did. And when you do, and you look back, and you ask yourself, well, why was that such a big deal? You know, why was I so worried about everything? And why did I allow myself to get so anxious about these various things? So I guess what I would say is, no matter what the struggles are, no matter what it is that you're going through, you can get through it. You will get through it. You'll learn something from it, and hopefully you'll come out stronger for it. Even with my experience in jobs, it just seemed like I'd gain experience in a certain area, and that would always help me in my next position. And then I'd gain experience there, and that would always help me in my next position. So you don't have to stay at a job where you're not happy. You can find something that you're happier with, and you can do well at it. You may end up with jobs you don't like a couple times, but again, you don't have to be stuck. And I think I'm just rambling on,
okay,
and on.
So you said that you said that everything that you had went through helped you within, you know, future situations or things that happened afterwards. So you said also that if you're at a job that you don't like, you don't have to stay. Did you? Did you ever stay at a job that you didn't care for? Or were you very quick to switch off to the next thing?
There were times I stayed at a job beyond the time that I really wanted to stay there. But if I did stay there, it was because it wouldn't have made sense for me to leave at the time. I needed to stay in order to gain a full benefit of wherever it was that I was working. And so, you know, I wasn't always quick to jump ship. Sometimes it just doesn't make any sense. And I actually left the state. And sometimes I look back and I wish I hadn't done that. You know, I don't know if that was the best move at the time. You know, I was there basically for over 10 years. And there were times I wanted to leave earlier on, I think just because I was bored with my position. But I did stick it out, and yeah, maybe I should have stuck it out longer. And I've had a good position since then, a couple bad ones. Now I feel like I'm in a position where it's a very good fit for me. But again, it's kind of like I'm starting over, and that can be difficult because I had worked my way up to a certain level. I'm a professional. I'm knowledgeable. I'm good at what I do. And now it just feels like, oh, I'm starting back at the beginning again. And that's not very comfortable, but I know I'll work my way up again, so I'm not really too concerned about it.
Okay, so let me ask you this. When you had your first two children, were you in school? And when you did go to school, when you decided to commit to a major, get a degree in that major, go out, find a career within that, like, you know, subject, what was that whole process? Why did you choose that? Is that your passion? What did you love? What did you really want to do? Like, what, growing through, like, your 20s, I guess you could say, growing through your 20s, what was your mental state? Like, what did you want, and did you feel like you got what you wanted?
Oh, boy. Gosh, that's such a complicated, there's a lot of components of that question. So when my kids were young, yes, I did kind of take classes here and there. I always loved learning, and I always could apply what I was learning to different areas of life. And so, you know, I constantly took classes as I could, but as a single parent, you can only fit certain things in at certain times. And so basically, it was really 10 years of just kind of going to community colleges before I decided I wanted to get my degree in accounting and finish, you know, finish a four-year degree. I didn't originally start out wanting to do accounting. Originally, I was a writer. I kind of had a natural talent for it. And I was a dancer. I liked dancing. So I thought I would go to a liberal arts college. You know, I'd do some dance. And then later I'd become an English teacher. Well, looking back, I would not make a good teacher. I don't have the patience for it. you know, and as far as dance, yeah, I grieved that a little bit, I suppose. But I'm not sure that was for me either, because the dance field can be very, very competitive and very dog-eat-dog. And during my 20s, I was a fitness instructor, and I did take dance classes, and I was very physically active. And in the dance component, you know, I could see right away that if you're going to be a professional, you are going to deal with some stuff as far as competition goes and how other women can be with one another when they're in competition for the same thing. So I'm not even sure that, I don't really regret that now. You know, maybe back then I thought that was a dream, but at this juncture in my life, I feel like all my kids are doing well, and they're thriving, and I feel like they're happy, and they're directed, and that gives me great fulfillment, great pleasure. I don't think there's really anything more that I could wish for. And I have found a wonderful partner. I kissed some frogs, and I've got my prince, and I'm grateful for that. And so I think at this place in my life, I'm just really grateful for the things I have. There are still other things I want to do. And for a while, I've been lost. I haven't kind of had a sense of direction, and I've kind of been in a bad place, but I feel like I know now, you know, just because I'm 58, it doesn't mean life is over. there are things that I can still do to help other people. There are things that I can still do that are fulfilling, and I want to do those things.
So it sounds like you're talking a lot about the things that you're really proud of. For example, your kids, for the man that you're with, for the journey that you've had, all the things that you've gone through, having to find yourself, writing. I mean, just all these different things that you've experienced throughout your life. So what fulfills you? What are the things that you feel at this point within your years of, you know, being around with everything that you've gone through? What do you feel like fulfills you most and makes you who you are? What was the process of finding that? For anyone that's out there that is looking to find it early, that is young, saying, what am I doing? What do I want? What fulfills me? What was the process of you figuring out what fulfills you? And how can they do that too?
One thing that I find very fulfilling is setting a goal and accomplishing it, because that isn't always an easy thing to do. Another thing that I find fulfilling is when I complete a task that was difficult, and I do it on my own, or when I have like a success and I do it without anybody else's help. Just the gratification that you feel when you are able to accomplish something on your own, I think that gives me kind of a sense of pride. But the other thing is just little things like opening the door for somebody, or remembering to be kind to somebody, or saying a kind word, or I don't know. Boy.
Well, it sounds like you have for the listeners, if you guys notice, I was just listening to my mom. Everything that she just said is about her, and there's nothing wrong with that. If anything, that's what you want, because there's so many people, for example, myself, I'll just tell the story really quickly. We were talking about this a little bit earlier, Mom, but basically I was talking to one of my friends and he asked me, Rachel, what are you working on right now? I said, well, I'm working on being a better leader. I want to be able to lead people in the right direction to change their lives and be able to do things that they've always wanted to, find their purpose, things like that. And he said, well, why do you want to do that? And he's the type of person, he digs very deep. And he's been on the show, his name's Cam Scott, he was episode 2. Very deep thinker. If you haven't listened to it, definitely listen to it. But he's like, why do you want to be a better leader? And I said, well, it makes me happy. He's like, oh, so basically you are doing this because you want to feel good. I said, yeah, I want to be happy. And then he said something so powerful, and I keep telling everyone about this because I think that everyone needs to hear it. And this is what he said. He said, are you helping people because you want to be happy, or are you happy so you help people? And that was so powerful, because what my mom just said, you notice how she didn't say, oh, what I feel fulfilling is going to my son's soccer game, you know, or what I find fulfilling is blah, 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 blah. Like, it's never about someone else. It's about her, because if you're not happy within, if you don't have your own self-fulfillment, if you don't set goals for yourself, if you don't go after what you want, you won't have that happiness and that fulfillment. You have to be happy before you can go help someone else. You have to be happy before you can go and do these other things. You have to be okay with you. And I think what my mom said is really interesting, because it all goes back to that. And sometimes it can take a while to figure that out, and I'm still figuring it out. I know that my mom, she just said that she's still figuring it out. We're all on our journey. It doesn't matter how young or old you are. We all have to go through that process. So leading into my next question, I asked you, you know, what kind of fulfills you? And you named off a couple of things. What was the process of figuring those things out? And what do you think people need to do to gain clarity? Do you have like certain things that you do where you will go and, you know, take some time, take a day to figure out, you know, what do I want? What am I after? Do you ever do anything like that?
I do. I'm the type of person that kind of needs to break away from everything sometimes to just listen to my own voice, or kind of just get outside myself and observe, you know, myself and my thinking and my thought processes. One thing that really helps me to gain clarity is writing. Through writing, I actually get to see my thoughts on paper. They're not just running amok in my head. And so that's something that helps me to gain clarity. Another thing that helps me is really analyzing a certain situation and looking at it objectively, not getting emotionally wrapped up in it or becoming completely compulsive or irrational about it, but rather just kind of sitting back and observing. That helps me gain clarity. Sometimes when you're in the midst of something, or like I've struggled on and off with depression, when you're in a depression, it's really almost impossible to stay objective about something, because all you feel is that sense of sadness and feeling overwhelmed, and it can be difficult to climb out of that. So what I have tried to do is try to break away from that and remember just to start doing little steps where you write down what you're grateful for, or it could be as simple as, I have a roof over my head, I have a warm place to sleep, because not everybody has that. And when you start taking steps like that, it can help you at least be grateful for what you you currently have in order to open up the doors to add things into your life that make it seem more fulfilling and more meaningful. And I don't think there isn't really necessarily just a process. It's kind of just a thing where you live it and you learn as you go. Meditation can sometimes be helpful. Just, you know, trying to kind of get in touch with your spiritual side can be helpful. I think it's different for everybody. I can't really give a formula for what it takes to find clarity or to be happy. For me, it's been a process. Some people do it perfectly. Some people's lives just are mapped out for them, and they never make mistakes, and it just seemed like they have these charmed lives, and it's all, you know, it all falls in place for them. It wasn't like that for me.
So you said that some people just have it mapped out for them. Can you give me an example of someone that you feel like does? Or what makes you have that perception? Do you know if they have it all mapped out, or is that just what you think?
There are some people that I've come across in my lifetime where it just seems like they've got these, like, perfectly mapped out lives. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head. If I were to think about it for a while, I know that I'd be able to point somebody out. But I know there are people like that out there. And there are, like, my son, Michael, he's always kind of been very driven and known what he's wanted. And in knowing what he's wanted, he's managed to be very successful. And I'm not saying he has a perfect life, but he is one of those people that has seemed to be able to know what he wanted at a young age and really work hard toward it and move toward it. And, you know, he's one of those people.
So you think it's about knowing what you want?
I think that's a big part of it, but not everybody knows it right away.
Mm-hmm. And you also mentioned how sometimes in the midst of things, it can be very hard to think objectively, whether it be through depression or maybe something that someone may be struggling with. Can you talk about that? Like you said, you've had situations where there was times when you just couldn't think for, maybe you didn't feel like you could think for yourself. What are those times and how did you get past them?
Well, I want to talk about depression a little bit because it's, you know, there's the misnomer. People think that it's just, oh, it's something you can just get over. Oh, you know, it's just a frame of mind. It's really not. It's much more complex than that. There are other biological things that are affected. Your whole system is affected by it. And for me, medication has really helped. I was on the wrong medication for a long time. And, you know, so with depression, it is important to try to get treatment. Sometimes you don't know what the proper treatment is or even that you might be getting the wrong treatment. So, you know, if you can go out there and get the proper treatment, I think that then that doesn't so much taint your life and taint your way of thinking. In the last year, it's been a difficult couple of years. I've lost some people in my life that have really died at a young age, died too young. And there have been some challenges, and I have not dealt well with them. And, you know, I developed a gambling addiction, and it ramped up pretty fast, and it really kind of took control of my life. I wasn't able to control it, and this is coming from somebody who's never even smoked pot, never been drunk, has never been addicted really to anything.
And except for working out.
Yeah, working out. I
was Wait, tell them that what yeah, you used to
okay.
do.
All right, well.
Oh, God.
There was one time, I loved working out. Sometimes I would work out like for 6 hours a day. And there was one time I was working in the Bay Area and I felt like I needed to run. I drove all the way to McKinley Park.
From the Bay Area?
From San Jose to McKinley Park. I called in sick.
How many hours is that? Or what the distance is between San Jose and
McKinley? 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours to run around a park.
Yes. 9 times. 9 times.
9?
And on my 5th time, I fell down and sprained my ankle. I got up and I finished. And then I had to go to work the next day.
You
with
called
a sprained
out of work.
Ankle.
And they, what did they say?
They didn't say
What'd you call out of work for? What'd you say?
I just said, well, you know, I sprained my ankle.
At least you had like a real, like, you could show them. It is sprained. It happened on my day off.
Oh, God. Well, yeah. And I would do things like that. I was just a crazy workout person, and it was my go-to. It was what I did to solve everything. And now, of course, I have fibromyalgia and a lot of different things, and I can't really exercise anymore. And so I just found gambling, and that was like my go-to. And that's been pretty devastating. It's pretty addictive for certain people, and I'm one of those people. And, you know, it's taken me a full year to really come to the realization that it's not something that I can do. I have to quit, like, completely. I'm one of these people that I just can't even push the button. I can't even get started because it just grabs a hold of me, and I lose my rational mind. I lose my objectivity. I lose my ability to, keep it reasonable. I can't. And so that's kind of what the past year has been like. And it's been very difficult for some of my loved ones, too.
So what do you think started driving you to that? What was, like, the first initial thing?
Well, it was the death of a family member who had been a smoker and developed a respiratory illness, a very serious one, and watching her go from this vibrant, happy, bubbly, youthful type person to this just little shriveled up shell of a person. And it still really bothers me that she was a smoker and it killed her, you know, and it was an ugly thing. It was not pretty. It wasn't cancer, but it took her life. And that had a devastating impact on me. And then we had a situation where I found out I had a half-sister. She came into the family, which was a wonderful blessing, but at the same time, it caused a lot of tension. And then after that, my mother was diagnosed with cancer, and I also was in a job where I was miserable, and it was just kind of... And I was changing medications, and that was when I decided to start gambling. And the timing was just like this perfect storm of I had this escape. I had this place to go. I didn't have to think about anything. I could just shut the whole world out and, you know, listen to the bells and whistles and the lights. And I felt safe there. Nobody judged me. And that's kind of how it started. And then, of course, once you win your big jackpot, if you win a big jackpot, and I did.
What was the highest you ever won?
The highest I ever won was over $10,000 on a single jackpot.
Okay.
Yeah. And, however, I also lost, in the space of a 24-hour period, $33,000. That's $33,000. I don't... Earn
in 24 hours. How much in an hour? What is that? 33,000. I can't even get my calculator out.
Yeah. That is about $1,500
an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
On a slot machine.
It's really easy to do. Yeah. It's very easy to do, and money loses all its, you know, you lose perspective there. Money doesn't mean anything anymore. It's just like this thing that you use in order to drive the compulsion. And I'm lucky that I had enough credit to be able to pay all this debt, but now I'm going to be paying debt for 4.5 years at a time in my life when money shouldn't be an issue anymore. And now I've made it an issue, and it is going to impact me. But I just now I look at it as, oh, this was a learning experience. Wow, I never thought that I could be an addict. I have been, and I am, and it's something that I will always probably struggle with. And but I'm okay with that. I acknowledge it, and I also plan to pay my debt. It's going to take a long time, and it's going to be painful at first, but I know I can do it, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to make things right. But it's taken me a long time, a year, to get to this place. It has taken me trying again and again and again to convince myself, oh, I can do this. Oh, I'm going to win it back. You know, I'll hit the big one. I'll win it back. No, that's an illusion. And I know that. And, you know, I had to get to, I think, a pretty bad place before I was able to come to the realization that, wow, you know, this is destructive. It's not good for me. Gambling and I are not compatible, and I need to start directing my life in other ways.
Okay, and what was that deciding factor? What was that moment where you were like, I need to make a decision to stop? You had been doing it for what? You said a year? Consistently, yeah. You had been gambling, right? Mm-hmm. And what's so crazy is I remember we went on that cruise a year and a half ago. We walked into the casino. I was like, what, 20 at the time, maybe 19. And I couldn't gamble, right? In California, I could only gamble on the cruise.
Right.
Because it was legal.
Yeah.
I lost $55 on the last day of the cruise, I remember, during blackjack. You walked in, you smelled the smoke, you said, I'm out of here, Rachel. You go do what you want to do. Remember? You didn't gamble at all.
No, I wasn't a gambler.
And then to see the transition.
Yeah.
To see the transition.
I was never interested in gambling. Yeah. You know, I was with Rachel's dad, and he liked to gamble, and I would go, and I wouldn't really gamble at all. He'd gamble all night, and, you know, maybe I'd play the roulette a little bit. One time I think I played $50, but that's the most I ever played. A couple times my current beau and I, we...
Who?
My beau, my
Who's
boyfriend,
your beau?
My, you know, my is partner.
That like, is like, that like old people slang? Beau?
Yes,
Who's
yes.
Beau?
It's old people, beau, anyway.
Oh my gosh. My current beau.
Yes.
What?
Yes. Okay, so.
Boo, it's boo, Mom. My
it
current
is not.
Boo thing.
No.
My current bae.
No.
Okay, whatever.
Okay.
My current man.
Well, when we went, I would play $5. That would
Whose
be
idea
like
was
all
it?
I would play.
Whose idea was it to go to the casino? You or him? At first.
Usually he would want to go play Wheel of Fortune. He'd want to put like 50 cents in or whatever,
oh
you know?
Oh, my gosh.
And it just didn't appeal to me. I could never understand why people went to the casino, because so many people I knew, it's like that's what they did for fun. But, man, once I was hooked, I was really hooked.
Yeah, so back to what we were saying. Yeah, so what was that turning point? What made you make that decision?
The turning point really was when I had to decide between my relationship and whether I wanted to continue gambling. Because honestly, I really didn't know. You know, I just wasn't sure. I wasn't sure whether, which I wanted, which is terrible. You know, it should be an easy decision. And what I did was I actually took some time out. I kind of actually immersed myself in the whole gambling environment. I started watching people, seeing other people doing what I was doing. I saw one woman pour $5,000 into a machine trying to win a $5,000 jackpot. I saw one man there all night just jumping from machine to machine. I talked to one man who went there pretty much every day, and I just realized that there are other people out there, I think, who also have a serious problem. In fact, I know they do. I have gone to a couple GA meetings. I'm not the only one. I'm not alone. Going to the GA meetings is going to be a regular part of my life from now on. But the real turning point was when I was just observing myself. I observed that I could make rules, or I could try to limit myself, and I would always break the rules, and I would always exceed my limits. And no matter what, if I would win, I would always give it back. And then I'd usually give back a lot more. And stepping back to look at that and asking myself, why am I doing this? This is this is not making me happy. This is not bringing me joy. This is not edifying in any way. This is not my best self. I'm completely a soulless person when I'm there. It's just all about feeding the machine. And I think it was just, I had to come to that decision. Nobody else could. Nobody else could tell me that this is something I needed to stop. I needed to want to stop. And that really was the turning point for me, is being there by myself, observing it, looking at it, and deciding I don't want to do this anymore.
You know what's so crazy is, obviously, you know, I know you've been dealing with this, and I have a couple of really close friends that know you. How's your mom doing? You know, and like always like play, she's great. You know, how's your dad? Great. And although you may not be, there's a couple of people that obviously, you know, I'll confide in, and I won't tell your business, but I'll just say, you know, there's a couple of things that we've been struggling with, blah, blah, blah. They're like, why don't you talk to her? I talk to you. Like, I don't say, Mom, are you going to stop? Like, I don't press you about it. And you know that. And the only reason I don't isn't because I don't care. You know I love you. You know I check on you. You know I always ask you, are you good? But you can be the only person to make the decision. Only you. Remember, we don't have to talk about it, but remember all that trouble that I got in when I was younger?
I do.
All that trouble.
I remember.
Who made the decision? Me. I had to make a change. And you know what my outlet was? When I met Coach Kenny. And you saw that difference, right?
I did.
And then it's just like, it's you making that decision. It's you being the person to decide, you know, people can be in your ear all day, every day. You need to do this. You need to do that. Trying to tell you what to do, how to live your life. And as right as they may be right, and they probably are. But you can be the only person to make that decision for yourself to change.
That's absolutely true. And I think it actually has been detrimental to me to have someone telling me, oh, you've got this problem, oh, you need to quit, oh, you know, you're a sick person. It's like, yeah, you know, I am, and I know all this, but I'm the one that's dealing with it. I'm the one that's in the mountain of debt. It's not affecting you necessarily. I'm the one that's struggling. I'm the one that ultimately has to decide that this is not something that I want anymore.
So when you made that decision, obviously gambling is a habit, right? Now, what do you feel like you're going to do to replace that habit with something healthier? What is your next steps? What does future look like for you?
For me, you know, I it's going to be a daily thing where I have to have daily practices and habits that remind me that I have this issue. So it's going to be reading, you know, I have a little yellow book that's a Gambler's Anonymous book, reading that, writing, rereading my writing to remind myself of where I've been and where I want to go. I'm going to start out simple with a little calendar, and every day that I do not gamble, I will check the day off. And I'll check another day off and another day off. And before you know it, it'll be 30 days. And then it'll be 2 months. And I'm also going to take $3 and I'm going to put that in a little piggy bank. And I'm going to keep putting the money in the piggy bank every day that I don't gamble. And I'm going to use that towards something positive. It might be a Zumba class. It might be donating to some cause. It might be a dance class. But those are things that I think are going to be really powerful for me. I think I feel so good about myself when I don't gamble and when I keep my commitment to myself. And I think that's going to be a huge motivator.
It makes me so happy. Like when you were talking about the piggy bank, like just seeing the excitement on your face. Like I think that when people are going through something and they're struggling with something and they want to quit and they want it to go away and they want it to stop, all they do is just think about all the reasons why, like, how am I going to stop? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And they're trying to think of a solution. Well, giving yourself, like, little goals, like you just mentioned, putting $3 in there. How did you come up with that? Do you think it's creativity or did you read it online? Or, like, where can someone else go to try to, you know, set goals for themselves and reward themselves for those type of things?
That I just came up with on my own because I just thought, you know, I'm going to pay myself.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay myself, but I have to keep it manageable because I've got all this debt. And I need something tangible. And it's the same with marking off the calendar. I need something tangible that's going to remind me. So I kind of just came up with those things on my own. But people can, you know, there are other resources. You know, there are books that you can read. For example, I have talked to some people with gambling addictions, and they just will make sure they stay busy. They do anything other than going to the casino. And so the other thing that's important is to find joy in the little things I used to find joy in before, like cooking a good meal or, you know, playing a game with my bow.
Oh, God. Yay.
Listening to good music or wrapping gifts or decorating or whatever the little things are that used to bring me excitement, to start doing those things again and being mindful and being present in the moment so that I'm not tempted, you know, to go back and win that big jackpot that I'm really never, ever going to win. So
before we end it, one last question. What's next? Like, did what you went through make you realize what you really want? What are the things that you're after now? What are you going to do to just continue to live your best life?
I'm going to meditate. I'm going to focus more on my spiritual self. I'm going to set goals for myself as far as trying to be my best self. I'm going to have to place a strong emphasis right now just on getting healthy and, you know, getting, I'll call it sober because it is kind of a different sobriety. I don't have any, you know, I want to stay at my current job. I'd like to start putting more money away for retirement and there are things like that. I don't really have any lofty goals of, oh, I'm going to go to Europe and I'm going to travel. I can't do that right now. At some point I want to. Right now it's just really very simple. I just want to kind of pay my debt and be grateful for the things that I have and stay away from the casino.
Okay, I lied. Okay, one, and you better put some effort in this, not something simple like, don't gamble. I need you to give the people, anyone out there that's listening, someone that may not have the right guidance, that is trying to figure out what their purpose is, that's trying to gain more clarity in who they are and what they want, what's like one piece of advice or one thing that you would tell them to do? And whether that be like, oh, stay true to yourself, just something that you know has always helped you or something that you learned along the way that helped you in some type of form. Don't feel pressured.
This is what I would say. You know what you need to do. There's that voice inside you that we all have that is telling you what you need to do. Listen to that voice. Don't ignore it. You know, it's called, sometimes they say listening to your gut. And I would say, if there's something inside you, a driving force, a voice, be still, listen to it, and then just go for it. Don't hesitate. Don't be afraid. Step out. Be bold. Do what you need to do to pursue that thing. And even if you fall on your butt, just get back up. And maybe when you experience it, it won't necessarily be exactly what you want. Well, then find new direction. That's what I would say. I don't have a magic bullet. I don't have a simple solution, you know, to be able to tell people this is what's going to work and give you clarity, because I just don't. But I would say for sure, for me, when I listened to that internal voice and when I followed it, the results were always very satisfying.
Awesome. Thank you so much for, you guys, my mom is such an early bird. The fact that she's even here at what, 10:44 at night? Oh my God.
Yeah,
she's going to kill
me. Past my bedtime.
Yeah, she's tired. But again, you guys, this is my mother. This is who literally raised me. And I'm just so thankful for the fact that she was on the podcast. If you guys have any questions for her, any comments, any thank yous, any I hate yous, just kidding, don't do that. But if you have anything that you want to say after this podcast, please leave a comment below. Share it with a couple people that you know need to hear this. And even if they're not, like, you know, maybe the situation isn't similar, they can always apply it into their own life. And again, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you on the next episode.